I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Good afternoon, Upstate. Welcome to Upstate Outdoors. You're listening to 106.3 WORD. If you're in Anderson, you're listening to 101.5, hopefully.
Yes.
But you still got the same two people on this end. It's Philip Gentry and Boat Girl.
Hey, y'all. Happy weekend.
Bringing you Upstate Outdoors every weekend.
Yes.
And we're back in the studio for a home game.
Yeah,
after
we're on
being
a home
away
game this week. After getting to being on a away game last week.
Yeah, that's the way it
goes.
It's
fun though.
And it's not in playoff. Well, I guess maybe depending on how you want to look at it, it is kind of playoff season for us. Fourth quarter. If you're a deer hunter, it's fourth quarter. And I'm gonna tell you what. I don't want to get into this, but I got to get some points on the board during fourth quarter because it ain't happened yet.
Me too, boss man.
I tell you what, I've never thought. I won't lament about my deer season so far because we have got a great show for you today. And actually, it's sort of a bass fishing theme show today.
Your favorite, PG.
My favorite, yeah. But we're going to do the Upstate Outdoors blog to start off talking about catching catfish in cold water. And I know that doesn't have anything to do with bass fishing, but,
It's still fishing.
It's still fishing. And it's a lot of folks think that fishing for catfish is a summertime thing, which you can catch them. But a lot of folks don't realize that you can catch some really good trophy catfish in December. Probably the best month of the year for catching trophy catfish.
Really?
Yep. Without a doubt. You ask all the big the pros and tournament anglers and all, they love some December.
Okay. We'll have to. I have to learn some stuff about that.
Awesome. And then we got the G-Man, Gerald Swindle, he's now from Bass.
Again.
But professional angler from down at Lake Gunnersville in Alabama. And he was one of the two pros who made the election or decision to leave Major League Fishing. That was announced, about 2-3 weeks ago?
I think it was 2 weeks ago.
Was it 2 weeks ago? Him and Brandon Polinick decided they were going to leave MLF and go back to the Bass Elite Series. And I said, man, we got to get G-Man on the phone. So let's talk about it.
Yeah.
We'll talk with him about that.
It's not the first time he's been on the show.
No, he's been on before and around Bassmaster Classic time. So looking forward to talking with him about, a lot of these guys are – because of sponsorship and friends and stuff like that, I don't know that he's going to give us the entire inside scoop on why his decision was, but we'll ask.
Yeah,
right?
We're going to ask.
And
we want to know.
Because that's big news in bass fishing.
It's huge news.
Yeah, and also, and Boat Girls wants to ask him about this, he changed boats.
He changed boats. I think that was announced the week before the switch over back to Bass.
Yeah.
So we're going to ask him about that too. That's
changed boat.
Cool. After a long time.
Long time with Triton.
Long time.
And
with
now
Triton.
He's in a Phoenix.
Went to Phoenix.
So we're look forward to that. We'll probably take the whole first hour of that. I can't see us getting out of there in just one segment. When you got G-Man on the phone, we'll
you want to get it all in.
You want to talk to him during the second hour. We're going to have the Roadkill Cafe. We're going to go back to eating catfish.
We are. We're eating catfish stew.
Catfish stew?
Yes.
Just like I requested.
PG said, what about catfish stew? We're going to make some catfish stew.
It's that time of year.
It's cold.
Catfish stew's good.
Yeah.
It's one of them things. Do you put your recipe in a crock pot?
We can. This is a stove recipe, though.
Stove recipe. Okay. All right, well, and in the spirit of things, it is still deer season. Everybody hold four fingers up because it's fourth quarter. And I found this article from bonecollector.com about when is the best time to harvest does. Okay, a lot of folks say it's early in the season. Go ahead and get your does out of the way. And then a lot of folks say, if you start killing does early, you won't see any bucks. And so it's better to harvest them later in the season. So we'll cover that. In my experience, y'all been shooting does every chance you get, because that's all I've seen going to the processors, people dragging up deer, you know, double handfuls. So
does.
Of does and whatever.
Yeah.
So a lot of deer being killed. I think that's kind of slowed down now. But we'll talk about the article and what is actually the best time to harvest does. And then we're going to bring our buddy Chris Wells on, because later on today is going to be the drawing for the Nitro, what is it, a Z19?
I think it's a Z19.
And you still have time. Tickets are $100 a piece.
You can get tickets right up to the last minute.
I think you can go all the way up there to Cabela's. That's where they're going to have the drawing this evening at 5 p.m. And he's going to draw for that boat. And I didn't tell you this. I bought a ticket.
Did you buy a ticket?
I did buy a ticket.
Cool.
Yeah. So
what are we going to do with another boat if we win?
We're going to fish. I don't know what I'm going to do if I win, because I don't know. I don't.
We don't have anywhere to put another boat.
Yeah, that would be like somebody say, "Oh yeah, yeah, you and Chris done worked that out, huh?"
Well, I mean, here's the thing. It is a wonderful cause. Chris Wells has an awesome ministry, and we contribute to the cause every year for the boat raffle.
Oh yeah, yeah,
for sure.
So that's a great thing, and I hope I don't win. I wouldn't. I mean,
you won't let that happen.
I mean, it's honestly, it's good odds. It's like, I think he's probably going to be over 500, but we'll talk with Chris about that, and I'll ask him what we're going to do if I were to win. And he'd say, "You'll take me fishing." But anyway, so looking forward to talking with Chris, and then we will wrap up today's show with our calendar of events.
We got a few.
Yep, we do. And I think I added one. I'm trying to think if I added one. I added one about the raffle tickets.
Right.
I remember putting that on there. And then I got a pretty cool story about a company that's a small company, but for Christmas gifts, they bought all of their employees a new gun, gave them a choice of a new gun for Christmas.
That's kind of cool.
That's right. So
everybody wants a gun for Christmas.
Yes. Yeah. They told them, they said, if you don't know how to use it, or I think they told them they had to take a mandatory safety training, and bought everybody a gun.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That's what we need. So, let's see. So what we've been doing this week, I'm trying to think.
Well, we finally got some Christmas decorations.
I was talking more outside as far as hunting and fishing.
Me and the hubby did our once a year deer hunt where we actually sit together.
That's right.
We're kind of making it a tradition now that, you know, we're going to sit together in a box stand once a year, and we did.
Yeah.
This past week.
And we saw some deer.
We did.
And we got blown at.
Last
week was a horrible week as far as the wind goes, in my experience. It just, I hunted pretty much all weekend.
That was on Sunday evening.
Yeah. But even, you know, coming off of Thanksgiving week, I hunted a bunch last week. And my luck has not changed, either deer hunting or duck hunting, so.
Well, I mean, I still had fun sitting in the stand with my sweetie.
Yeah.
Ever since I've kind of grown up as a hunter, it's like he's on one side of the property, I'm on the other, and we'll text back and forth a little bit. But it's kind of fun to get to hunt with the hubster.
Maybe we'll do it again. Maybe once I kill my 2-deer limit,
then it's time for me to get mine.
Yeah, there we go. Well, let's go to our break. When we come back, we're going to jump into the Upstate Outdoors blog, talk about some cold water catfishing tips.
Y'all stay with us right here, 106.3 WORD.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, welcome back. Upstate Outdoors. Now's the time on the show when we get into the Upstate Outdoors blog. And for those of you who are kind of tired of being in the woods.
Not us.
Yeah, not us. And I actually wrote this because, like I mentioned earlier in the show, Wintertime, especially early wintertime, is a great time to catch catfish. And interviewed a couple of folks, good friends of mine, and I wanted to bring this to you. It's cold water catfishing tips. The official start of winter is right around the corner. The start of winter fishing season is at hand. For catfish anglers, that can mean good things as well as a few bad things. Now, the weather may not be as pleasant as it is during the other three seasons of the year, but that doesn't mean that you can't catch catfish. In fact, like I said, many seasoned catfish anglers prefer their winter months for chasing blue, channel, and even flathead catfish. Now, a few area catfish pros weighed in with some handy tips and tricks that will help you catch more catfish and get more bites this winter and help you put more fish in the boat. Catfish angler David Magnus is one of those guys who actually prefers to fish during the winter. He said there are several things he does that helps him catch more trophy blue catfish. So first, I'll look for a deep hole with not a lot of current. He said in the wintertime, you don't want a lot of current because the catfish really don't feel like chasing bait around.
Because they're cold?
They're kind of lethargic because of the water temperature. Yeah.
Gotcha.
He also changes what's on the menu. He said most people use herring or cut perch year-round, but I'll switch to shad for bait when the water's cold. And his reasoning for that is because he catches a lot of 2- and 3-inch thread fin and gizzard shad throwing a cast net, and he believes that catfish are accustomed to eating that in cold water.
Matching the hatch.
That's right. And, of course, as it gets colder, those shad become lethargic too, and they'll start to die off. And that's when
they're easy targets.
Yeah, the catfish will mop up. Now, he also said those shad, you know, the 2 to 3 inches cut in half are a much smaller bait, and that's another thing about fishing in cold water. You need to use smaller bait.
Yep.
Now, catfish tournament pro David Shipman said rather than fishing right on the bottom in the wintertime, he tends to find catfish suspended up in the water column, more so in cold water than at other times of the year. He said big catfish will suspend up 2, 3, 10, even 12 feet off the bottom more in the wintertime. Nobody thinks the catfish suspend, but they do, especially the blue cats.
Huh.
He said, I'll use a bit heavier weight to keep the line vertical in the water and just ease around with the trolling motor, allow my baits to suspend up off the bottom and target those fish. For those of you who are striper fishermen, it's basically the same thing as downrod fishing.
That's what it looked like. I was reading that, and I'm like, huh.
Using cut bait instead of live bait. Now, another veteran tournament angler, Joey Pounders, loves to target flathead catfish, even in the winter, and has some great tips for flathead anglers. He said a lot of people believe flatheads don't bite in the winter, and that's not true. They got to eat, he said. The difference is they tend to congregate together in the winter versus in the summer when they spread out. And when they spread out, you know, you'll catch one fish here, and then you have to move and catch one there. But in the wintertime, you won't find them on every tree or every spot, and so you're going to have to find, you know, maybe 10 to 15 spots and try those before you catch one fish. He said, when you do catch a flathead in the wintertime, you need to stay put.
Because they're together.
That's right. There's likely 5, 6, even more flathead catfish in that one spot. And a Pounder said most of his flathead spots are submerged trees, and in the winter he'll locate 10 or 12 of those trees in one general area before he starts fishing. But once he locates a tree that has at least one fish in it, it's very likely to have several more. And he'll give each spot, he said, about 20 minutes because...
kind of work it a little bit.
Well, I mean, and it's still going to be live bait. Like David Magnus, Pounder said he prefers shad for winter catfish bait. He fishes them live, and he stated that the cooler water keeps them friskier longer than fishing in the summertime when it's warmer water. He said, I can get 25 to 30 minutes out of good, lively action out of each bait in the winter. Compare that to about 5 to 10 minutes of so-so action in the summer because the shad are stressed in the hot water.
Which makes perfect sense.
Yeah. And one of the things, I'll tell you about my experience, I've spent a fair amount of time fishing for catfish. Most of my experience has been with other anglers, you know, doing articles and so forth. But I really do. I can remember a trip down to Santee Cooper that I took, actually a couple of trips that I've taken in the past. And the same things that you do when you're up here on these lakes fishing for stripers works down there and in other notable catfish lakes, even, you know, Lake Murray, Lake Hartwell to a certain degree, is where you see the birds diving and loons, yeah. you know, yeah. like that. I mean, basically like any kind of fishing. And those birds are diving on that threadfin shad and stuff. And what you'll have is you'll have a lot of different fish coming in and feeding on those as well. Well, guess what? When they're hitting and knocking those baits, you know, the stripers or white perch or bass or whatever, those catfish are laying on the bottom or suspended up off the bottom a lot of times.
Looking for the leftovers?
Yeah, and they're letting
the ones that are hurt and not ate.
Yeah, they're letting the other fish do all the work, you know.
And they're hanging out.
And especially, like, if you see a loon, a lot of loons in the water, because loons they'll strike at a lot of fish and injure them.
And they injure them, but not necessarily get to them.
Yeah. So,
man, I'm learning something today.
Yeah, so, you know, it's not like... You know, stripers are kind of a slash feeder in largemouth bass and spotted bass. You know, they'll chase fish around. Catfish are a little bit more subtle.
They're just going to kind of wait for an injured one to fall down there.
I'll tell you one thing about a blue catfish. A lot of people disagree with me on that. That is the apex predator in almost any lake that you go to. And
not a largemouth.
No, shoot. Largemouth, what you use for bait. To catch those fish. I mean, think about it. I mean, about any lake is going to have 40, 50-pound catfish in it. That's nothing.
That makes sense considering that's five times the size of a giant bass.
Yeah, largemouth, they kind of watch their six when there's a bunch of catfish around. So there you go, winter catfishing.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. We're going to go to our break now. We have got Gerald Swindle on the line. We're gonna have a break and then come back and talk with the G-Man. I tell you what, a lot of changes going on in the bass fishing world, and he made the switch over from Major League Fishing over to the Bassmaster Elites. And
We're going to talk all about it directly from the source.
That's right. Can't wait to talk to him, so stay with us.
Y'all stay with us right here, 106.3 WORD.
All right, welcome back. Well, I always like to welcome our first-time guest, but the guy we got on the phone is not a first-time guest.
No.
So no cowbell for G-Man today, but we got Gerald Swindle back on the radio with us. G-Man, welcome back to Upstate Outdoors.
Man, it's good to be back. You know, I'm an old veteran here, see. I'm not a first-timer.
You're like a pro already.
Well, that's it. That's it.
Yeah, you lied.
So, your name has been in the news a good bit as far as bass fishing circles for you know, some changes coming up for the 2020 season. Decided to make the change from Major League Fishing and going to get back into the Bass Elites. And tell us a little bit about that and what that's done for you.
Well, you know, we signed up with MLF. We took all this year, hearts all in it, you know, and it didn't, you know, halfway through the year, I'm starting, my heart was somewhere else. It's like I was dating my high school sweetheart and she left me and I dated the next girl that spoke to me. And then about 3 weeks later, I'm thinking, I ain't in love. You know, I'm not, my heart was somewhere else and I kept feeling it. I was like, man, I just, you know, tried to walk through it, work through it. And this, by the end of the year, I just knew that style wasn't for me. I knew my heart was still at bass. I missed the fans. I missed the people. I missed everything about it, the whole deal. It's all I've ever known. So I was struggling, you know. And then I told my wife, I'm going to sign up for all eight opens. I said, I'm going to go back and try to requalify. And when I signed up for all eight opens, I told the guys in my left I wanted out. And they worked a fine out, which... it's high. I mean, I think me and Paula, they could probably go down in history as the only two guys ever pay $50,000 fine apiece.
Oh, wow. I was not aware that there was a fine for breaking out of the okay.
So we did $50,000 apiece, and I said, you know what? That's what I want to do. And then I talked to Chase Anderson at Bass, and he said, you know, you have qualified through a legend status. You was one of the only three anglers to fish Bass Opens last year. So it kept me in the mix because I was fishing with taking my nephew and mentoring him, and he said, we'd like to offer you a position in the 2020 Elites. And I was like, I'm like, hell to the yeah. Let's go. You know, it was just like being reunited. I can remember when I got the call, I'm going down the interstate, and I said it out loud, and my wife starts crying. She's like, this is the best day yet. You know, and that's nothing against any league or anything else. It's just where my heart wanted to be. It's just where I know I'm the happiest. And, you know, I think after fishing, going in my 22nd or 23rd year, I do know that being happy with what you're doing at work is the key.
So important.
It is so important. You can try to work yourself to death, but if you don't love it and you're not having fun, you know. So I'm just that guy. It's been a shakeup now. I mean, from buyouts and negotiations and, you know, but my sponsors seem to be super, super excited. My wife's excited. My mom and dad can follow it now on the internet. That's something they're familiar with. They're in their 70s. So for us as a family, it's been a long, stressful, what do you say, honey, October, November has been long. Like, I got my hair cut today, and I'm like, this stuff's leaving like corn dying in the fall. I think it's finally worked on me. It's working on me, you know, and I'm like, my beard's getting, you know, last off season had to make this change to leave.
Right.
And now this off season going back, I said, I'm ready for a fall where we just hang tree stands and hunt. And this is where I plan to be. I said this the other day, and I mean it. I'm a basser for life, man. This is what I know. It's what my daddy fished. It's what I want my nephew to fish. So I'm gonna follow my heart and do it. And I'm gonna be there till I die. And I'm gonna be in a phoenix. And I told him this. You know, I said they can roll me to the church. In a phoenix, paint a big number three on the side of it. I don't care. I said, just roll me in there.
Well, one thing about the Major League Fishing was there was a lot of interaction, but not the sort of the fan interaction that I think a lot of the fans were accustomed to. And with you being a big fan favorite, I mean, you know,
big time fan favorite.
I mean, I don't think I know you care where you finish in a tournament, but a lot of the fans are like, man, I'm just waiting for Swindle to
get up there and talk.
I want to see what he's got to say about, you know, something. And
I missed that.
And that was missing. We missed that also as fans.
Yeah, we did.
I mean,
for sure.
I didn't realize what the fans meant to me and Leanne. You know, I felt like two or three things just coming from my perspective of last year. I felt like my decision was rushed. I felt like I left before I was ready to leave. And I'm a real headstrong person. And I've always had my dream of how I wanted to leave when I decided that I've had enough. So I felt like I left early. So I wasn't done. So I felt incomplete. And then when I took the fans out of it, I was just like lost. You know, when you have a bad day with the Classic, I can remember the Classic a couple years ago at Gunnersville. I come up here and I caught one the first day. One.
Ooh.
On your home lake, yeah. Well.
On my home lake. It was lowest of the lows. I come in the weigh in day two. I caught two. I got in the truck and I'm livid. I mean, I'm ready to kick Satan right into growing. I mean, I'm done. I mean, I'm mentally checked out, as mad as I'm going to get. And she said, you got about an hour and 20 minute drive till we get that Coliseum. And when you get out, she said, I need to see you smiling. She said, because those people that come to see you, they don't care where you finish. They just want to talk to you. So she said, you can get it out in this truck. But when we roll up at Birmingham and they see you smiling, you don't realize what those fans mean to you when you have that bad day and you step out of the truck and you're signing hats and you're talking to people. And they're like, hey, man, you're my favorite angler. You know, follow you on Facebook. We love you in Little League. That stuff stands out when a guy's had a bad day.
I never thought about it from that perspective, but your wifey is certainly right.
Yeah, I get that a lot, too. My wife tells me what to do all the time, so I'm with you.
You know, she said the fans that come to see you love you. She said they don't want to see Mad Gerald. They know you did bad. They just want to say, you know, she said you stand in an autograph line, you see people's hands shaking when they try to hug you, they talk to you. She said you got to understand it's their what they come here for, and you need to give it to them. She said, you'll get another chance to fish, but they might not get another chance to ever meet you. I said, well taken. You know, you brush it off. But that fan therapy is a great, great medicine when you've had that butt whooped.
Well,
I missed that.
There is, and we talked about this a little bit on the show last week, there is nothing like Championship Sunday at the Bassmaster Classic. There is nothing. There's nothing that could ever compare to that. Even coming from, you know, us covering classics here local, working the expo, anything and being involved, there's nothing like it. And I can't imagine coming from the angler standpoint to be there with that kind of energy, you know, with the fan base and the fanfare and the magic of Championship Sunday at Bassmaster.
And not getting that feedback, yeah. Yeah, somebody stick a camera in your face.
I remember my first classic when I pulled in that tunnel. I can remember what it felt like. And I can remember this is the drug I'm not going to be able to quit. And I can remember last year when I walked off that stage, I'm thinking, I'm just quitting a drug that I love, that I'll never be able to get. And it weighed on me. Mark Jeffries made a comment to me. He said, I got a picture of you, G, never published it. He said, you walked down the hall. He said, you wasn't 40 feet from the stage in the hall. And he said, you just stopped. He said, and I took a picture from the back of you. And he said, you're looking back over your shoulder. He said, and I told Matt, he ain't done. I said, dude, it's what I knew. It's what I grew up with. I tell people all the time, I said, I'm just a redneck that got lucky and started fishing. Those are my people. They're house framers. They're painters. They work at a gas station. They do radio shows. These are my people. And I don't know. I never really realized how much a fan could mean to an angler till you take him away, because that's where the energy is. I've come in that tunnel on Championship Sunday in a classic and been so physically tired I couldn't hardly put my feet in front of one another. And when that music starts and then fans start screaming, you forget all that. You forget all those hot days and not getting no bites. You forget how cold it was. You couldn't feel your hands. You forget that you hadn't ate in 7 days. You forget all that. Because for that few minutes, it's the most magical moments of your life. And I know people say, well, if you ever try crystal meth, you'll never quit. Let me tell you something. If crystal meth stuff, don't ever go to the classic and get a standing ovation, because that's hard to quit.
There you go. Well, Gerald, we're gonna carry you over. We got to get over a break and promote some of our sponsors. But we want to bring you back.
Baby.
Well, because Boat Girl really wants to she wants to talk about that new ride you mentioned, getting that Phoenix boat.
I'm sitting on the edge of my seat over here.
So we're going to go to a break. When we come back, we'll have more of the G-Man, Gerald Swindle.
Y'all stay with us right here, 106.3 WORD.
All right, we're back. Upstate Outdoors on the radio, and we have got fan favorite, the G-Man, Gerald Swindle. We've been talking a little bit about his decision in making a change, going back to his roots, leaving Major League Fishing and going back to Bass Elite. And I'm going to tell you, there's two people sitting in this room that couldn't be happier about that.
So excited.
Yep.
I appreciate it. That was one of them decisions when you make it, you know it's right in your heart. But when you hear guys like yourself say, man, we're glad to have you back, it just assures you that everything's going to be all right.
Well, Gerald, do you think there will be more behind you? I mean, after you and Polinick have kind of made their way back?
You know, I think there's going to be. I think you're seeing more and more guys sign up to the Opens. You've seen that this year.
Yep.
The participation really grew. So, yeah. I think there's going to be a few guys, and that's not saying that MLF's not won't be successful. It's just saying a lot of guys in love with another woman.
Yeah. And we certainly think that there is room for MLF. There's room for Bass. There's room for FLW. I mean, we think there's room, you know, as far as the industry-wide thing. It's just there's just nothing like Bass.
I think it was a little complicated sometimes when the anglers, you have, you know, I tell them, I said, guys, when you create a third league, it's a marketing budget. They work off a budget. There's only so much money in that budget. So that league all of a sudden competes for the same money that you do. So there's going to be some bumps in the road getting there.
Yeah.
But they're going to do great things, and they're going to be fine. But I'm going to be, you know, back at Bass. And I just commend Bass and Chase Anderson for what they've done. You know, Chase rolled his sleeves up and proved to everybody he could be a leader. And that, to me, that's impressive. You know, he was handed a losing scenario, and he made it work.
Yeah.
And that is awesome. And also, Gerald, not to switch gears with you, but Boat Girl's over here just standing one foot to the other, because you also made a big decision. Well, I don't know that if you made the decision or the decision was made for you with Triton kind of, what is it, 2020 is going to be their last series
is
of boats.
2021? I heard that through the grapevine. Yeah. I don't know if
But you're
going
to be making a switch over to Phoenix boats. Tell us about how that came.
Yes, sir, I am. I'm going to be running the Phoenix for this year. I'm going to be running the 921 Elite. I'm super excited about it. You know, I've got friends that run them. I live right here beside Freedom Marine, which is the second largest Phoenix dealership in the country. My next door neighbor over here is Mo, which is one of their top mechanics, and he works down there. So, like, I know all about the boat, and it just kind of, you know, and I know Gary Klaus, I know Teresa, and we've always been friends, and we've had cold pops together at the Classic, but it just kind of come around where I felt like it was time. You know, it's, you know, and people say, yeah, it's about sponsorship and money. It is. You know, it is. It's about that to a certain degree. But I like where Phoenix is at as far as the family-run business. That it's like a family.
It really
I can walk in there,
it
I
is.
I can hug Teresa's neck. When we went up there and talked, we agreed on what we needed, and she said that we can do this. I said, well, you just type up the contract, and we'll get it done. She just reached over to hug my neck. She said, there's my contract.
That says so much about the family that's running that business. I mean, I love Gary and Teresa both to pieces, and boy, can they build a boat. It's almost like the last of the Mohicans of the hand-built, hand-laid, ground
up. It's a labor of love. It's a labor of love. Those guys are in the office walking on the plant. There's nothing wrong with the other companies.
No.
But they've been bought and bought and bought, and the ownership moves bigger and bigger. There's not as much hands-on. There's not that personal relationship, you know. And I missed that. That was something I really missed at Triton is you just didn't have that. And I just thought to me, I was like, when I went up there and met with them, I thought, I went and got in the car with Leander at home. I said, this is where we're going to be. She said, absolutely. She said, I've never felt so good about a decision and the people, what they stand for. It's an hour and a half from my house. I got a dealership right here across the road. I said, this is our time to make the swap. And I'm excited about it. I mean, I'm going out there. You know, I'm going to learn the boat. You know, I'm going to learn the capability of it. It's going to be cool to come because I've spent 21 years of my career in a Triton.
Wow.
What do you anticipate being the difference? But I mean, a lot of folks look at one glitter rocket versus another and say, well, you know, it's all the same thing. But what do you anticipate being the challenges?
To me, what I looked at a Phoenix that I liked initially, just the little stuff, the seat height. From when you sit in the seat behind the console, the seat height is right. I'm 6'4". So when the seats are too low, I'm pulling on the steering wheel all day, getting up and down, up and down, up and down. It's fatiguing on the boat and you. So the ride height of the seat is perfect. I look at the gunwale, like how high is the gunwale, how low is the gunwale. To me, perfect. The deck width. I look at the fuel, like the fuel capacity. The other things I've noticed is I check with all my buddies. I was like, man, your Phoenix get wet in the boxes? Nope.
Nope.
Nope. Nope. That's the stuff I'm looking for. Yeah, they all got glitter, and they can all make them pretty. But at the end of the day, I want to know if I fish in the rain all day and I bring that Phoenix home and back in here and open the boxes up, I'm not drying everything out.
One of the cool things about Phoenix, and I don't know if everybody in our listening area, that boat is built by fishermen. That boat
Absolutely.
Has every single little detail that you would want because you're a fisherman.
It's got some stuff you don't realize you want till you open the door and go,
wait a minute, this is
really cool. Okay.
One of the things you mentioned about the seat, I'm 5'2". And that boat fits me as well as it fits a full-size man. And that was done on purpose.
They have that two-fold seat. They have that seat that comes lifts up where you can sit a little higher, sit lower. So I like notice that even when I walked through the plant tour, there was guys on the plant tour that was working the assembly line that would step out and ask to get a picture made. They all fished. Dude, a big fan. It wasn't somebody that didn't know who anybody was. They knew fishing. You know, and so when you're doing a plant tour and signing autographs and getting pictures, you know that these people here, they fish.
Well, and that goes back to loving what you do. It's so hard to be in this industry. It's hard to work for a boat builder, manufacturer, dealer, unless you love what you do. You love to fish. You love the industry. You got to be born to do it.
Yep. It's either, I tell everybody like hunting, because people always talk to me about hunting. My wife bow hunts. My daughter hunts with her son. My son-in-law hunts. My grandchildren are going to hunt. We all hunt. I said, but it's a bloodline. People think that hunting is just something you wake up one morning and think, oh, I'm going to go do. There's people that get into it like that. But hunting is a bloodline. And fishing and building fishing boats is a bloodline.
I agree.
It's something that comes, you get that a little bit. It could be from a pond trip. It could be from a cane pole trip with your granddad. It's something that your family blood has handed down to you that you took a little notion. You thought, man, I really like this. I really like this. And that's hunting to me. That's fishing to me. And, you know, coming from a hunting and fishing family, that's what it's all about. I tell people, they say, what's the key to bass's weigh-in? I said, I broke it down. I said, here's the scenario. A 40-year-old male comes to the weigh-in to see the fish and get a little bit of information on Lake Hartwell because he got a tournament coming up there. And they got elite series up there. So he brings his wife and his two children. Now, his wife really ain't into fishing, but she stands there listening. And whether the guy comes on stage and he's funny or she comes on stage and he's hot, there's something about that woman to say, you know what, I kind of like that guy. But the husband's there just to see the fish and hear the information. And all of a sudden, they take the two kids and they get in the autograph line and they get to meet dad's heroes. And they get to get their hat signed. See, you created a bloodline of fishermen in that one weigh-in. That's how, when I watch it go down and I stand there signing autographs, I see it over and over. Daddy fishes. Mother came to support the family. She took a liking to some anglers for whatever reason. All right, and then the children are right there to get their hat signed, and then they grow up to buy the next Phoenix boat. They're the next guy that grows up to buy a Rapala DT6. That, to me, is what separates fishing from everything else.
And that's awesome. Gerald, man, we really appreciate you being on the show with us. And, man, unless you got a good catfish recipe, we're going to have to let you go because Boat Girl's got to do the Roadkill Cafe here. But
you got it, man. Well, I appreciate y'all having me on. Y'all stay in touch, and let's get back together, and let's try to kill some deer and catch up on some gossip one day.
Awesome.
Yeah.
We will do it, man. Thanks for being on the show, and we'll be following you.
All right. See you, man.
All right. So there you go, Gerald Swindle.
He's a great guy.
He is a great guy.
Man. So much heart.
And we got to get out of here because we got to go to our break top of the hour. We'll be back next hour, starting off with the Roadkill Cafe.
Y'all stay with us right here, 106.3 WORD.